Pope Francis has had little good to say about Western capitalism since he ascended to the papacy. In communist Cuba this week, the Pope called for reforms and attracted excited crowds. Everywhere he goes, Pope Francis has called for greater support for the poor. He has condemned the wide income gap around the world and is expected to address the concentration of power in Washington, D.C. In the nation of separation of church and state, this very popular pope will arrive in the U.S. to begin a five-day journey that will take him from Pennsylvania to D.C. to New York City and Georgia, including a meeting with President Obama. Jimmy Burns, journalist and author most recently of Francis, Pope of Good Promise, said amidst his candor and good humor, Francis has remained fundamentally true to his Jesuit education and to his beloved soccer obsession, which is one reason why he has bonded so quickly to Catholics and non-Catholics around the world.
I mean, I think the Jesuit thing, as it were, or the piece, as you put it, is actually the key to understanding Jorge Bergoglio, Pope Francis. In what way? I suppose in understanding his spirituality, the Ignatian spirituality taken from the founding father, St. Ignatius. And I think a kind of phrase one often hears through Ignatian spirituality, which I personally identify with, is seeing God in all things, which is a pretty good point of departure because for a pope like Francis, because it means that he's got a very kind of universal attitude towards human engagement. One just has to see the extent to which he manages to engage with different faiths, with different presidents, heads of state, with different communities.
And when we think about, what the transition has been from John the 23rd to John Paul II to Benedict and to Pope Francis, many writers who've written in advance of the Pope's arrival suggest that there's more continuity between the papacy of Pope Benedict and Pope Francis than we have been led to believe up to now. What's your view on that?
First of all, I can't disagree completely with that view for the simple reason that Pope Francis himself has honoured Pope Benedict by having him, as we know, living within the Vatican walls in retirement. And, you know, which is not an easy thing to have your former boss literally living just up the road. And in a sense, if one looks at the way that Pope Francis was elected by the conclave, in a sense, he owes his election to Benedict's blessing. But to say that there's a very clear continuity, I would dispute that because, I mean, for the start, we're talking about the current pope obviously coming from a completely different political, social, economic, and I would suggest even spiritual environment, which is the sort of Latin American context, the Argentine context with its particular idiosyncratic political culture. And of course, Benedict came very much from a German, Eurocentric, European background. And also both men are, I mean, evidently clear to the world, are very different characters. I mean, you know, Benedict is undoubtedly a spiritual person, a contemplative person, a great theologian. But he has neither the charisma nor the natural human engagement of Francis. Benedict, particularly in his last years as Pope, seemed to be overwhelmed by the office. By contrast, Francis is like a man transformed. I mean, you know, a Pope which clearly feels that this office was almost waiting for him.
How does Francis break down these barriers without creating a revolution within the church? He seems to have simultaneously connected with people of the flock and also intimidated and really put a warning out to folks within the Vatican that it's no longer business as usual.
Yeah, it's a very delicate, both political, spiritual and ecclesiastical road he is treading on. That is evident to all for the reason you've identified. I mean, he has spoken out very clearly about what he calls the sort of inward-looking church. He has this wonderful phrase as, you know, I don't want churches which are simply museum pieces where people go in behind closed doors and priests look inwards and not outwards. He wants a church looking out with open windows. which of course to many Catholics and indeed non-Catholics, this is like a breath of fresh air. But as you rightly note, for more traditional Catholics, you know, this has put a bit of a fear of God into them, quite literally. But having said that, I think it's important to emphasise a key part of the Francis persona, which again has to do with his Jesuit spirituality, which I think he is a man who is, I think, is quite astute politically. He takes steps that he's sure of, and only because of his own popularity and what is behind him. So he's not an isolated figure. He believes and shown that he is capable of listening to opposing points of view. He is open to discussion, and indeed he encourages discussion. The last thing Pope Francis wants to leave as his legacy is an utterly divided church. You know, we were on the brink of that in the last months of Benedict because of the Vatican scandals, because of the sexual abuse, because of the huge kind of betrayal that a lot of Catholics felt, many of whom left the church. And he is in a rebuilding exercise. He doesn't want to bring the whole building crumbling apart.
He's a football fan. I mean, he's a fanatic football fan. And everybody seems to know it who comes to St. Peter's Square. What is that about? And how does it affect you when you think about this fellow?
Well, as you probably know, we're both football fans. And now we have, as you say, an Argentine Pope who was brought up in a neighbourhood of Buenos Aires where the local team is a declared fanatic of San Lorenzo. And I mean, where the two came together, of course, is a few months ago when Maradona went to visit Pope Francis, you know, the latest in a long line of personalities and heads of state who've found their way to Rome under this popular pope. And, of course, was absolutely delighted with Pope Francis, gave him a signed Argentine national team with the number 10, his favourite number, on it. And then Diego, or as he's known to his friends, Maradona, declared himself reconverted to the Catholic faith. So that's just one more who's come back into the fold, but probably from the most unexpected source, because I never would have believed in a million years seeing Diego Maradona turning up at the Vatican and feeling himself humbled by a pope.
Jimmy Burns, journalist and author of Francis, Pope of Good Promise. Thanks so much, Jimmy.
Thanks a lot, John. It's been a great conversation. Thank you.